As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome aboard The Athletic's Can't Wait Jets podcast, your nonstop shop for all things Jets with Tim McMaster, Zach Rosenblatt, and Marissa Dunn.
Can't wait!
The dust has settled on the 2023 NFL draft, and we have a full recap along with the moves the Jets made after the draft and what could come next between now and training camp. A lot to get to. Thanks for joining the Can't Wait podcast. I'm Tim McMaster along with Zach Rosenblatt and Marissa Dunn. Subscribe if you haven't, whether that's on YouTube, if you're watching us, or on Apple, Spotify. Give us some great reviews and the thumbs up on YouTube as well. All of that is appreciated. Zach, have you recovered? I should say Marissa, have you recovered? Because she had to deal with that other podcast that records at like 2 in the morning. But how you doing, Marissa?
It was a long weekend, but I mean, well, it's draft weekend. Eagles. It's a fun weekend. Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's, you know, once a year. So it's cool to see all these, what directions teams go in and how everyone evaluates, you know, the post-draft stuff. So how about you, Zach? How you feeling?
Well, I had the double whammy of like kind of being sick during the draft and also like you're not sleeping during the draft. So it was a bad combo. So I'm kind of congested. You can probably tell. But yeah, I always try to explain, especially
for
people
Jets
who don't
draft.
First Jets draft. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was a busy week, but as I try to always explain to people in my life, like when they ask like, so are you like, what do you even do this time of the year? Are you even busy? Or like, what's your schedule like? I'm like, well, if you ask me during the draft, I'm working every day nonstop. If you ask me like, you know, the other half of the offseason, I might not be doing anything for a few straight days.
Well,
so it's a very interesting part of the schedule. Yeah. The Jets are a little different, but it's an interesting part of the schedule because usually you'll go from doing like nothing to the busiest 3 days of the year to nothing for a little bit. And then it's busy again. And then this and this. So that's the offseason. But yeah, you know, a lot of stuff to talk about. Aaron Rodgers in the building, practicing, posting videos, everybody going crazy every time he's even mentioned he's going to all the sporting events.
All the sporting events, right? He's hitting all the teams. He's got hockey. The Rangers went down. So the Rangers lose that series. Granted, it was to the Devils. So do we have any confirmation of which team Aaron Rodgers was supporting in the
I think
the
he was
Devils
supporting Rangers the Rangers because he was there with Lazard and Breece Hall, and they were all wearing Rangers jerseys.
So. Yes. Yeah, and so they lose. They won that game, but they lose the series. Yeah. And then the Knicks lose. I don't know.
Ooh,
Aaron Rodgers, bad luck.
I think the Knicks losing is more on Connor than on Aaron Rodgers, though.
Yeah.
So he goes Rangers. Zach Wilson initially, remember, went to some Islanders games.
Yeah. Right.
First, so different.
And these guys all know to just flow where the wind is. So if it's the Islanders in there, then they're going to support the Islanders, kind of thing.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers also better tickets than Zach. I think he was right front row with the Knicks, wasn't he? Like,
yeah,
makes sense.
He's a celebrity. He's a full-on celebrity.
I will say,
you know?
We did not see him at the Met Gala though last night. So there were Patrick Mahomes was there.
Seems like that would kind of be his scene too, right? Like,
yeah. So
although the Met Gala is something that you generally, it's a couple thing, right? You don't see a lot of singles show up.
Yeah. I guess,
well, not athletes probably, but maybe like musicians, they'll show up by themselves. But yeah, you're not going to see like, you know, Chris Traveler there by himself.
Because it was always like Brady and Giselle together at the Met Gala.
Yeah. You know, yeah. I would have.
Giselle was there by herself. Giselle was there by herself last night, I believe.
Mm. Well, I'm pretty sure, like, whenever Brady was at the Met Gala, that was like he could have found 1,000 things he would have rather been doing than being at the Met Gala. So.
Well, he doesn't have to anymore, I guess. So.
drawing up plays on a napkin, anything. All right, let's get back to the Jets and overall thoughts first, Zach. And if you look at Dane Brugler, had the Jets ranked 29th out of 32 teams. Mel Kiper, 26th, but he gave him a B because Mel. I don't remember this always being the case, but Mel's grades went from A+ to B-. I don't know if that's to stay on the good side of front offices or what. We're like, yeah, you were the last team ranked, but I gave you a B-. So, but anyway, we knew going into this draft that it was going to be hard for the Jets to really knock it out of the park. And then obviously day one, a lot of people questioned the pick. So overall, how do you feel about this after they made some trades to gather some extra picks on day three and what they came out of it with?
Yeah, you know, see, and to Dane, in Dane's defense, because I know Jets fans got really mad at him, he wasn't grading the drafts. He was ranking them in order of the ones that he thought were the best drafts. So it's not necessarily saying that he didn't even like if you read his comments,
they could have gotten he could have given them an A-, but everybody else had an A or an A+. Yeah. You know,
but even if you like you read his comment, he was like positive even on the Will McDonald pick, who he thinks has a high ceiling. It ultimately comes to how you're judging it. Are we judging it how this class is going to help the Jets for this year? Then I think you could probably, you know, push back a little on how this class looks. If you're going to say we're going to look back at this class 3 years from now, I think you might talk about this class differently. I think that's kind of the way Joe Douglas, which was maybe a surprise, but, you know, again, like I go back to what I was saying in the beginning, even after the McDonald pick, if they didn't think this was a very good draft, then I don't know how many guys they thought were going to be immediate contributors anyway. So you pick the guy who you think a year, two, three from now are going to be stars. And you know, for all the consternation about the Will McDonald pick, and I was part of that, I don't think anybody's actually questioned his talent. I actually think, for the most part, everybody agrees he might be a pretty good player. It's just more like, you know, you drafted a sub-package pass rusher as a rookie in a year when you need other stuff. And, you know, again, I maybe, you know, as we have a few days to reflect on it, I think maybe overdid the criticism and the idea that they needed a right tackle. And like, there's no guarantee a rookie right tackle is going to be good, by the way. But anyway, so I would say the only like, and we're going to, I'm sure we'll get into the, you know, the nitty gritty, but the only rookie you can look at that I can say that I feel pretty confident is going to be starting on week one is Joe Tippmann in the second round. So, you know, I think after last year's draft, it was always going to be a come down. There's a lot of promising guys in this class that I like. There's a few that, you know, we might not know if they're any good for a few years. And even then, they might not become anything. Like, who knows? Like, there's a lot of, like, project-type guys that they drafted. But ultimately, yeah, it was, you know, I get why maybe some fans were underwhelmed. I don't think anybody was ecstatic about this draft class. I don't think it was a bad class, which is too early to say anyway. But I do think they added some players that are going to be pretty good NFL players is how I feel.
All right, let's jump into day three a little bit more specifically because we already covered the other 2 days last week. They started things off with an offensive tackle, which we assumed they would get, but they didn't get one, like you said, that's going to step in. But Carter Warren out of Pitt, they get him number 120, and then follow that up going back to Pitt for a running back in Israel. Abanaconda? How'd I do?
Abanaconda, I believe. Yeah, Izzy.
Abanaconda. All right. Izzy Abanaconda. They have a way of drafting great named running backs. It's becoming a Jets tradition. But let's start with those two picks, the two Pitt guys, because they're going to need some help at running back. So that one's probably the key for 2023 out of this grouping.
Yeah. Izzy was, I think, my favorite pick of their class. By the way, and I think we might have alluded to this on day two. There's been more about the fact that the Jets were viewed as a team that might draft Jahmyr Gibbs in the first round at 15. I think Albert Breer also had it after Dane Brugler reported it. So that was clearly like at least in the ether. And that's, you know, maybe not all the information is real going into the draft because you want to convince teams to do things like that. But anyway, clearly the Jets knew they needed a running back coming in this draft. And I think waiting until day two, day three is always the right move with running backs. Just generally, you know, unless it's like a Bijan Robinson type, But even then, I don't know if picking a running back in the top 10 is the right move. So anyway, I think Izzy Abanaconda. He's a home run hitting back. If you look at his he had a game against Virginia Tech, I believe it was last year, where he ran for over 300 yards. Like he just went off. It was like a crazy game. And he just has an ability when he has the ball to score. He's a strong runner. He's quick. And I really think that, and I've been beating this drum all off season. The Jets have been acting like they're not worried about Breece Hall. I'm not saying I am worried, but I would say I think they're being a little overzealous, both fans and even like the way they're talking about him with the Jets, that he's going to be able to be himself either right away or at all this year. I think there's the way these ACL injuries happen with running backs, like it sounds cliche at this point, but it's hard to come back from that injury, especially right away. And I'll keep using Saquon as the example. He was really bad the first year back. So even if, let's say Breece Hall even plays week one, he's not going to look like Breece Hall did, you know, before he got injured in that Broncos game when he had that amazing touchdown run. And I would be surprised if he looked like that before the halfway point to the closer to the second half of the season. So you need running backs to carry that workload, to be that explosive threat for if and when you need to ease Breece Hall back into the mix. And I think that, you know, Michael Carter, he's a good short yardage back, and I think he's shown he's a tough runner, but last year was pretty good evidence that he can't really carry the load in a pinch. Bam Knight, it was kind of fun for a couple weeks, and then teams kind of had tape on him, and he didn't really do much. I think he has talent, but I don't think he's a guy that you can trust to start. And I think – so I really think that we might see Izzy getting really legit snaps at the beginning of the season. And if you're getting that out of a fifth-round pick, that's pretty good. And I do believe he's a guy that has the talent to like be like a legit running back in the NFL. And if he's good, and then all of a sudden you have a pretty good, you know, three-headed backfield with Michael Carter, Breece Hall, and him, where they all kind of complement each other pretty well. I don't think he's much of a pass catcher yet, but he could develop into that. But yeah, and he can help as a returner too. So at the very least, he's going to contribute as a rookie, and that's all you can ask for in a fifth. And Carter Warren, he's a guy that he's one of the guys the Jets, they made a few picks like this on day three. That if not for like injuries and such, he probably would have gone earlier. He hurt his knee. I can't remember which knee injury. Yeah, because I'm confusing him with their seventh round pick injury wise. But he had a knee injury that cost him all but four games last season. Before that, he was a 4-year starter at left tackle for Pitt. I think he's got good length and size, long arms. Right now, he projects as a swing tackle, but I think they're going to try and develop him to maybe be a long-term guy at left tackle, with Dwayne Brown's only has another year or two left at most. So I think that Warren was, you know, a solid pick in the fourth round guy. You don't need to play right away, especially because of who they signed in free agency, Billy Turner, who we're going to talk about. You still have Mekhi Becton on the roster, still have Max Mitchell to develop. Like they're throwing a lot of darts and hoping that one of them hits a bullseye. And if one of them does, then you feel pretty good about at least one side of your offensive lines. But yeah, they're, Joe Douglas taking more swings. It's kind of out of the Eagles playbook where you're always adding offensive linemen, and it never hurts to have depth and guys that eventually become starters for when your older guys retire or you have to move on from them in free agency. So Warren, I think, made a lot of sense. Just like a solid pick. Nothing to like complain about there. I think some fans wanted that guy, DeJuan Jones, who went to the Browns. He's like 6'8", 380 pounds. I don't think they necessarily wanted another. You know, I'm not saying he is like Mekhi Becton by any stretch, but I think there's some similarities there. And I think they preferred somebody like Carter Warren that, you know, can play both sides. So they got those two guys, the Pitt guys. And actually, Carter Warren is from New Jersey. I believe Patterson he's from, so local kid.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Yeah, we love bringing in the New Jersey kids. And then Izzy is from Brooklyn. So these are both guys that grew up around the area. So the added fun hometown kid element.
Warren was a torn meniscus that he had during the season that ended his last campaign. All right, three more picks for the Jets in the draft. Zaire Barnes, linebacker of Western Michigan. Obviously, linebacker was in need here, but this isn't a guy who's probably going to step right in and contribute much, right?
Yeah, he's pretty athletic, and I know they really liked his athleticism. I think he'll play on special teams right away, which is kind of what you want from day three linebackers. And then right. If they're more than that, then you're happy about it. I don't think Dane had him ranked very high, but he's a guy with like potential. Like I said, it's a lot of potential on these day three guys. They don't really have much depth at linebacker. That's another thing we'll talk about when we get into what's up next for this roster. You know, it's Quincy Williams, it's CJ Mosley, and then it's kind of a, you know, mishmash of guys trying to get that third spot until they sign somebody else. You know, Jamian Sherwood, Hamza, Nazir Al-Adin, Zaire Barnes. You know, it's not like the most exciting group, but I think they really do like Zaire and his potential.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
All right, Jarek Bernard Converse. Here's a guy who, you know, LSU, obviously there's that side of it. Another guy that flashed at times and will probably be a special teams contributor as well.
Yeah, the interesting thing with him is he, you know, on paper they don't need a cornerback, but he played safety at Oklahoma State before he transferred to LSU. He was pretty good at making plays on the ball. But, yeah, you know, I think his future is probably at sorry, my mic's getting all messed up. His future is probably at safety, I imagine. They wouldn't say for sure if they're moving him to safety, but they have a bigger need in terms of depth at safety right now. But the ability to play both, you know, they like having versatility guys they can move all over the place. And it should be said, they got all athletes. I think I saw a PFF thing that they had, like, the most athletic draft class out of anybody. And it's because, as you've been seeing, I've been saying it after every guy, like, the testing numbers on these guys are pretty ridiculous. Which doesn't always translate, but, you know, I don't, corner/defensive back, I think you should always be adding them, like, almost every year. That's one of those things. Add pass rushers, add offensive linemen, add corners. And so I didn't really know much about him. I know that, I mean, if he winds up being good, it's going to be hard to fit his name into headlines. It's something I talked about with my editor, because it's long, but it is a cool name. Bernard Converse. I think that would make the all name team for Connor. I wouldn't expect him to play a lot at corner this year. Maybe if he, you know, at safety, they have the starters, and then it's kind of, again, it's a mishmash of backups of Tony Adams, Ashton Davis, Will Parks, and now Bernard Converse, and they have an UDFA we'll talk about who could be in the mix too. But yeah, so there's a spot to be won as like the third or fourth safety, and if he has a really good camp, like certainly he could do that. But I don't know if he projects as someone who's going to play right away.
Speaking of players with big testing numbers, last pick is Jack Kuntz, tight end, Old Dominion, 6'7".
Zach Kuntz.
Zach.
His name is Zach. I think you said Jack.
Oh, I'm sorry. He ran a 4.55 40 at the combine at 6'7". Obviously, there's not they have tight ends on the roster, but it's an interesting pick at that size, speed, athleticism.
True story. Right before that pick, I was just like looking at who's available. I'm like, it'd be cool if they got this Zach Kuntz kid, and then they drafted him like 10 seconds later. I felt really smart. But yeah, you know, so there's this thing that surfaces during draft time, especially on Twitter, called relative athletic score. It's where it's like some company that like looks at all their testing numbers and compares them to all the players of their position that have come out since 1987. Zach Kuntz ranks number one out of all tight ends since 1987 in terms of his testing. His 40-yard dash was ridiculous at his size, as you mentioned. His three cone, he got it under 7 seconds, which is like a really, really fast, especially for a guy that size. His shuttle is vertically at a 40-inch vertical. He had broad jump. He was like first or second in every category among tight ends at the combine. So this is a guy that has just like raw size, talent, athleticism to a degree that they don't have on their roster with their tight ends now. Conklin, Uzama, Rucker, none of those guys are really like great athletes, I would say. Conklin maybe is faster than the other two, but these aren't great athletes that are like stretching the field necessarily. So I think this is a great swing in terms of value. It's their best pick on Dane's board. I think he was the 10th ranked tight end. He missed most of last year because he messed up his kneecap, I believe, but he was healthy enough to run at the combine and do what he did. So he's on the way back. But so he's more, again, like a project type guy, but he has all the tools to become like a stud. And so, you know, if a few years from now we're looking back and Zach Kuntz is like, you know, a starting caliber tight end, that wouldn't shock me. And if you can get that out of a seventh round pick, that's pretty great. But yeah, again, you know, athletic traits doesn't always translate. I don't know much about how he plays in terms of like as a football player. I just know he's a freak. And as Joe Douglas said, he had the freak factor they were looking for in the seventh round. And these are the kind of guys who take swings on day three.
All right. So they didn't get the plug and play offensive tackle that a lot of people were hoping for early on, but they have added a tackle since the draft ended. Billy Turner signed in free agency on Monday. And this is a guy who is just kind of following Nathaniel Hackett around the NFL. 43 starts for the Packers, 2019 to 2021 when Hackett was there. Seven more with the Broncos last year when Hackett was there. And now he comes to the Jets. So obviously he's familiar with this team's going with what this team's going to be doing, and Hackett feels comfortable with him.
Yeah, I think in articles before the offseason started, I included him on the list because it just made sense when you tie it all together with his ties to Nathaniel Hackett. I mean, he played for Hackett all 3 years in Green Bay, and then he followed him back to Denver. You know, Billy had been there in Denver before that, but so I think that said a lot about that he trusts Nathaniel Hackett. I think a lot of these guys they've signed, it's been part Rodgers, part Hackett. And again, it's just like, I think Joe Douglas, this is my initial reaction. Joe Douglas is clearly just trying to guard against the disaster that happened last year where you lose Mekhi Becton, you lose Dwayne Brown, you lose Max Mitchell, you know, Cedric Ogboy, you lose him at some point even. He became a starter, then he got hurt. George Fant was in and out of the lineup. They had to start Mike Remmers at one point later in the season, like this journeyman guy that they signed off the street. Like, it got ugly, and I think that's a big reason why the offensive line was so bad last year. So they're getting these guys all in the building now. You know, you have Dwayne Brown probably locked in as the left tackle, you know, depending on when he recovers from his shoulder injury. And you have a bunch of guys competing at right tackle. It'll ultimately probably come down to Max Mitchell, Billy Turner, or Mekhi Becton at right tackle. But yeah, Turner just, he adds veteran depth. He's a quality offensive lineman. He's not, I don't think he's bad. I don't think he's great. You know, he's kind of right down the middle type of guy. He knows this offense, knows how to play with Rodgers. Wouldn't shock me if he wound up being the right tackle starter. I think Mekhi Becton is, you know, everybody's hoping he winds up being the guy there. They're going to make a decision on his fifth year option, maybe even while we're on the podcast, if not right after. I imagine they'll decline it. He's one of like the only three guys left as of this recording. So I don't know what they're waiting for, but yeah, so they have way more depth on the offensive line between those tackles. You got Joe Tippmann on the interior, you bring back Connor McGovern. You sign Wes Schweitzer, Tristan Colon. So they have a bunch of guys, veterans. You lost Nate Herbig, you lost Dan Feeney, probably going to lose George Fant, but I would say their offensive line, you could argue, is if not the same, at least it's on paper looks better than it did last year. And if everybody's healthy, I think it will be. And I think that's the biggest lesson to take away from even this offseason is that the Jets, I think, clearly believe their offensive line is better than the rest of the world does. And whether they're right or not, we'll find out pretty quickly. But they're banking on the guys they had last year, essentially, you know, riding the ship.
So let's talk about that. You mentioned Becton and that group as a whole. Is there anything else going into that group at this point? Or you think you're set with all those guys you just listed as tackle options for 2023?
Yeah, I think tackle, they're probably done, unless there was some sort of big splash they wanted to make, I guess. Like, I guess you can never rule that out. I know some fans and some experts were like, they should trade for Jonah Williams from the Bengals, because I think he requested a trade after they signed Orlando Brown, I believe. And the Jets were in on Brown, by the way. That was like one of those almost Jets things where apparently they were in on it. But so I guess in theory, like, you know, if Joe Douglas wasn't thrilled at the possibility of starting Mekhi, I guess, like, then maybe you go and trade for somebody like that. But I think they're done. I've been saying, and I believe this, I think Mekhi is like the X factor of this whole offense, honestly. Like, if he's healthy, he's the most talented guy they have. He's clearly highly motivated. He's getting in good shape. Like, everybody sees the photos he's posting. It's all positive reviews coming out of the Jets. You know, it's been bumpy the first few years, but I think that if Mekhi Becton's healthy and playing, he has the ceiling to be their best offensive lineman and to be like a Pro Bowl type guy. And if you have a guy like that young, even if it's going into, maybe he's more motivated now going into a contract year when his options declined, like, my eyes are going to be on him in training camp as much as anybody. And if he gets through training camp healthy, and he's not starting, I think it would be a surprise.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. All right, undrafted free agents and the Jets sign 13? Does that sound right? 13 guys.
Something like that. None of it's official yet, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's like, those were all the reported ones, I believe.
All right, what I have here is Jason Brownlee, wide receiver, Southern Miss, Travis Dye, running back, USC, Deslin Alexander, defensive lineman, another Pitt guy, Alcorn State's Claudin Chirillis, Trey Dean III from Florida, he's a safety, Xavier Gibson, wide receiver from Stephen F. Austin, I'm not even going to say that one, cornerback from Western Kentucky, Malik Hall, linebacker from Southeastern Oklahoma, EJ Jenkins, tight end from Georgia Tech, Caleb Johnson, linebacker from Miami, TJ Luther, wide receiver from Gardner-Webb, and Marquise Waters, a linebacker from Texas Tech. So a lot of skill guys in that mix. From what you've, you know, starting to do the homework on these guys, Zach, do any of them kind of stand out as potential guys that can make this roster?
Yeah, I think there are two in particular that jump to mind for me. One was Trey Dean, who you mentioned, the Florida safety. He's the highest graded out of all these guys on Dane's big board. He had him as the 23rd safety and like a sixth or seventh round pick. He had a really bad 40-yard dash at the combine, 4.75, which might be why he fell out of the draft. But he also, at his pro day, apparently ran a 6.69 three cone, which, like I said, below seven is considered good. 6.69 might be the record, honestly, like if it was at the combine. So he's very agile. He's played all over the secondary. Dane's scouting report said he's a matchup weapon versus tight ends, and the Jets really struggled against tight ends last year. He's 6'2", 201, a little bigger than Jet safeties usually are. It's on the smaller side. Jordan Whitehead, Chuck Clark, LaMarcus Joyner last year, Tony Adams, like these guys are all under 6 feet. So he's a little different in that regard, but there's like I mentioned earlier, there's like a spot to be won as a backup safety on this team. I don't think any of the backups right now are locks. Maybe Tony Adams, I think they like him, but I wouldn't call him like 100% roster lock. So Trey Dean would be the number one. Xavier Gibson, the Stephen F. Austin receiver. I believe Dane had the Jets drafting him in the sixth round in his final mock, actually. So he's very small, 5'9", 189, but he's like very fast. 4.440, 6.88, three cone, which would have been the third best at the combine. Kind of a slot receiver, returner, speed demon, very fast, kind of like a gadgety type player. I think they have four receivers that I'm kind of, the receiver room is kind of comp. So they have Garrett Wilson, Alan Lazard, Mecole Hardman, Corey Davis, if they keep him. There's Denzel Mims hanging out there. And then the rest of the receivers is like Irv Charles and, Deontay Spencer, like guys that are training camp bodies. And so I think Gibson, if this is the receiver group they're rolling with, Gibson has a chance to make the team. He could be a returner. He can be a special teams guy. He's interesting to me. I saw that the dude they got from Gardner Webb, TJ Luther, apparently they gave him a decent amount of guaranteed money, which means they like him quite a bit. I couldn't really find that much about him online. He's Dane Adman has the 137th wide receiver, so pretty low down there. Travis Dye, the running back from USC, he was at Oregon before that. His brother's a linebacker in the NFL. Ran a 4.78 40, which is pretty bad for a 5'9 running back, but he's apparently a good returner. Pass blocker, maybe he's a training camp guy. And then Jason Brownlee was the other guy. He's kind of a bigger receiver, 6'2", 21 touchdowns in 3 years at Southern Miss. Not very fast, but can jump high. It's a lot of, like you said, it's a lot of like weapons. The spots to win, there's other guys that I don't really know much about that might emerge. I don't think anybody was talking about Tony Adams last year when he made the team. Same with Bam Knight. No, Bam Knight maybe was a little more popular.
We were talking about Bam Knight because his name is Bam Knight.
His name was Bam Knight, yeah. I would say the spots, if you're a UDFA trying to make the team, to make it would be wide receiver, defensive tackle, linebacker, safety. So maybe there's guys they're going to add when they officially announce it that we don't know also, but like that, those are going to be the spots where there's roster spots to win.
And that makes sense that that's where the bulk of these free agents are right now, as far as guys that are signing up.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
All right. Other moves the Jets can make between now and training camp. One that there's plenty of talk about, I'm not sure if it's in the chat today, but we've seen it in the chat a lot, is Quan Alexander and bringing him back. What do you think the chances are, Zach?
Man, I genuinely, like, I knew fans would like Quan Alexander. I didn't realize the degree until this offseason. It's like nonstop questions about him. It's wild. Like, I think he's a solid player. I don't think he's amazing, but yeah, you know, haven't done much in linebacker. I said that if they drafted somebody early enough, I thought that maybe that would have been their route. So you just draft a young guy and you develop him. They did draft Zaire Barnes, but like I said, I don't know if he's like a long-term like starter type guy necessarily. So I would guess that they do bring back Quan, but you know, I thought Joe Douglas's response to the question about it was pretty like generic, lukewarm, where somebody asked like, are you guys looking at signing Quan Alexander? He was like, we're open to signing all veterans that would provide an upgrade to our team at all positions or whatever. Like, it was very like broad strokes answer. Whereas he, like, you know, when he was asked directly, do you shut the door on Ben Jones? He wouldn't shut the door on him, kind of thing. And, you know, in owner's meeting, maybe he's learned his lesson from owner's meetings where he said they were interested in Calais Campbell, Odell Beckham, and Ben Jones, and none of those guys are on the Jets, and two of them signed elsewhere. So maybe he's like, I'm not going to say I'm interested in anybody anymore. But so I can't get a read on if they want him. There's other veterans out there they could sign. I don't have the list in front of me in terms of the free agents that are left. But yeah, I think Quan makes a lot of sense. I can't imagine it would cost very much. He's very respected in the locker room, brings great energy. Fans love him. So I think that would be the most celebrated like minimum contract that they'll probably sign this offseason. But I would look at linebacker and then the other Michael Dunn, reference to Al Woods.
Stealing my content here, Michael.
Yeah, I was about
one
to say,
I'm sure you were about to go there with next. Our next, our next topic, which is Al Woods at nose tackle.
Yeah, he's veteran from Seahawks. He's like 34. He was cut by them. He visited with the Jets a few weeks ago. Yeah, 36. They signed Quentin Jefferson, also cut by the Seahawks. As somebody pointed out, I think on Twitter, it's not like the Seahawks had a great run defense last year, so I don't know if just getting the Seahawks D-line is the best idea, but they also have Quinnen Williams is the difference. So, but yeah, so Woods, they brought him in for a visit. I can't remember. It feels like forever ago at this point, but it was a few weeks ago, I believe. I think he makes a lot of sense. There's some other defensive tackles on the board. There might be others that could cut, you know, especially after June 1st. I think Puna Ford, another former Seahawk, actually.
No, actually, he just signed with the Bills.
Oh, really?
Like minutes ago.
Yes. Oh, wow. I did not see that. Wow, that's funny.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Just came down from Tom Pelton.
Oh, there you're right. So. Yeah, 4 minutes ago. There you go. So one Seahawks defensive tackle off the board for the Jets.
Yeah.
A little
low-key breaking news on
yeah, yeah. So no Puna Ford coming to Sirens. No Puna Ford coming to the Jets. But yeah, there's Matt Ioannidis, who is on the Panthers. I think he's still a free agent. He's had some success in the league.
Jersey guy.
I didn't realize he was a Jersey guy. That I feel like defensive tackles are kind of like, I feel like Joe Douglas every year adds somebody in June, July, early August. That's like winds up contributing, like Quan Alexander last year. I feel like defensive tackle might be the spot where they do that. I feel like they're trying to sort out their alignment and all that stuff. And I still can't get a read on if they are open to moving JFM or Clemens to fill like a spot on that depth chart in the interior. But yeah, so linebacker and defensive tackle would be the spots. I don't see them signing a safety. I could be wrong. You know, maybe there's somebody out there they like veteran wise they can bring in for cheap to compete for a spot. But yeah, so Quan Alexander is the big one. He'd probably be the next move. I don't know when. It could be now. It could be a month from now. And he's a guy that you know already. So if they're waiting, it might just have to do with salary cap stuff because they still are, I think, only like $9 million under the cap. They have to sign the rookie class. They still haven't done any of the restructures or cuts that I thought they would by now. So I think they really are trying to roll almost with a largely similar roster what they had last year. Even guys like Ashton Davis and Bryce Hall still being here kind of surprises me a little bit. So I think they're going to try and hang on to everybody as much as they can. And, you know, maybe instead of cutting them, they're really trying to see if they can get either picks for them or, you know, show them off in training camp or something like that. But they have pretty good depth across the roster, I would say. But the spots everybody sticks to are defensive tackle and linebacker right now, and I think that's fair.
All right. I think that's going to do it for us. Anything else you want to throw in, Marissa or Zach, before we say goodbye?
No. I mean, I'm sure something will happen regarding the Jets between now and the next pod, just because we ran out of topics. But, I don't know. It was an interesting draft for the Jets. But the exciting part is Aaron Rodgers is in the building. We are talking to some players tomorrow, so we'll get a lot of, like, I'm sure quotes that'll go viral on Jets Twitter of, you know, whether it's Garrett Wilson or whoever, just saying something. Anything they say about Aaron Rodgers is going to just those gangbusters right now. So, like I said, it's good for business that Aaron Rodgers is here. It is still kind of weird. Like, I did my projected depth chart thing for yesterday. Even just, like, writing, I even wrote it in the thing. I was like, I don't have to write anymore that we're assuming that the trade is going to go through or anything like that. Like, Aaron Rodgers is a Jet right now. We just have to, like, write it like he is. And so that part is very strange, but we'll get used to it at some point, maybe.
Yeah.
I think we'll be back with people. May 11th is
all right. Schedule release.
So that's the next big one.
Not official, but yes.
There's enough smoke that it seems like May 11th is going to be.
I think I saw Schefter reported it too. So
yeah.
Yeah. They're working for May 11th, they said. I guess the schedule is not complete yet, but I mean, we can all assume that the Jets are going to be a primetime candidate for all the late night games.
It's a good question. How does the NFL schedule? So it's funny, baseball now is a computer because obviously 162 games per team over 6 months is something. Although for many years, there was a couple, like a husband and wife, who were responsible for the Major League Baseball schedule. And they did the whole thing. It was insane. If you Google it, you can find stories about it. They have since shifted to artificial intelligence, I guess, to put it together. But how does the NFL? The NFL, obviously, 16
the NFL has like
a,
there's like a committee that does it. And there's like a guy in particular.
And it's all based on the formula, obviously. So it's more just figuring out who the home and away teams are for the divisional.
Yeah.
You know. Well,
there's a formula, but they're also basing it on who they want to be, like the Rodgers thing is like a factor.
Yeah. Right. Thursday versus Monday and all that. Yeah.
Everyone gets a Thursday game. Yeah.
I feel like the schedule release is like one of my favorite days of the year because I get to like start planning my fall, you know, when's the bye week, what trips am I going to try and go on for like an extra day? Cause there are some cool cities that we're going to this year. So I always enjoy it. I think it's way overblown the way they cover it. I think it's kind of insane that they do
everything.
Yeah.
NFL.
It's like pretty wild, but I look forward to it every year. I wish it was earlier that we would find out, honestly, because I'm always trying to like figure out, especially when people have like fall weddings or something like that. And I have no way of telling them if I can go until I know the schedule. So.
From a fan perspective too, though, like it is exciting, right? Cause you can start jotting out like, okay, this is a win.
Yeah.
This is a loss. This is a win, you know? And road trips, right? Exactly, and road trips as well.
Taylor Delgado just asked if I'm going to spend an extra day for the away game at the Giants. I think that we have to travel there. Travel there early, try and you know, really take in the
extra
city.
Day in Hoboken. So we'll be back with you on the 11th. After obviously the schedule is out to talk through it. Well, I think that'll be our first. Ridiculously early predictions of the Jets season. So we'll get into that. If you haven't joined The Athletic yet, though, you need to go to theathletic.com/can't wait. $1.99 a month for a year right now is the deal that we're running. You get all of Zach's great work, all of the NFL work, the draft. And now we're in the heart of hockey season, unless you're a Rangers fan, basketball
season. Or a Sixers fan.
We should talk about that off the pod, actually. But anyway, that's going to do it for this edition of the pod. We'll talk to everybody again soon.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.